Michael O'Halloran by Jean Stratton Porter. Chapter 1. Happy Home in Sunrise Alley.
I see the parks are full of rich folks dolling up the dogs, feeding them candy and sending them out for an airing in their automobiles. So it's up to the poor people to look after the homeless children, isn't it?
Mickey.
Ah, kid, come on, be square.
You look out what you say to me.
But ain't you going to keep your word?
Mickey, do you want your head busted?
Nah, but I did your work so you could loaf. Now I want the pay you promised me.
Let's see you get it. Better take it from me, hadn't you?
You're twice my size. You know I can't, Jimmy.
And you know it too, don't you?
Now look here, kid. It's 'cause you're getting so big that folks will buy quicker of a little fellow like me.
So you've laid in the sun all afternoon, while I've been running my legs about off to sell your papers.
And when the last one is gone, I come and pay you what they sold for. Now it's up to you to do what you promised.
Why didn't you keep it when you had it?
'Cause that ain't business. I did what I promised fair and square. I was giving you a chance to be square, too.
Oh, well, next time you won't be such a fool.
Jimmy turned to step from the gutter to the sidewalk. Two things happened to him simultaneously. Mickey became a projectile. He smashed with the force of a wiry fist on the larger boy's head, while above both, an athletic arm gripped him by the collar. Douglas Bruce was hurrying to see a client before he should leave his office. But in passing a florist's window, his eye was attracted by a sight so beautiful, he paused an instant, considering. It was spring. The Indians were coming down to Multiopolis to teach people what the wood gods had put into their hearts about flower magic. The watchers had scarcely realized the exquisite loveliness of a milk-white birch basket filled with bog moss of silvery green, in which were set maiden hair and three yellow lady slippers, until beside it was placed another woven of osiers, blood-red, moss-carpeted and bearing five pink moccasin flowers, faintly lined with red lavender, and between them rosemary and white lady's tresses. A flush crept over the lean face of the Scotsman. He saw a vision.
Over those baskets bent the face of a girl, beautiful as the flowers.
Plainly as he visualized the glory of the swamp, Douglas Bruce pictured the woman he loved above the orchids. While he lingered, his heart warmed, glowing, his wonderful spring day made more beautiful by a vision not adequately describable. On his ear fell Mickey's admonition, "Be square!"
He sent one hasty glance toward the gutter. In it stood a sullen-faced newsboy of a size that precluded longer success at paper-selling, because public sympathy goes to the little fellows.
Before him stood one of these same little fellows, lean, tow-haired, and blue-eyed, clean of face, neat in dress,
and with a particular modulation in his voice that caught Douglas squarely in the heart. He turned again to the flowers, but as his eyes reveled in beauty, his ears, despite the shuffle of passing feet and the clamor of cars, lost not one word of what was passing in the gutter, and with each, slow anger surged higher.
Mickey, well aware that his first blow would be all the satisfaction coming to him, put the force of his being into his punch. At the same instant, Douglas thrust forth a hand that had pulled for Oxford and was yet in condition.
"Ah, you big stiff!" gasped Jimmy, twisting at an astonished neck to see what was happening above and in his rear so surprisingly. Had that little Michael O'Halloran gone mad to hit him?
Mickey, standing back, his face upturned, was quite as surprised as Jimmy.
"What did he promise you for selling his papers?" demanded a deep voice.
25, answered Mickey, with all the force of inflection in his power.
"And if you heard us, mister, you heard him own up he was owing it."
"I did," answered Douglas Bruce tersely.
Then to Jimmy, "Hand him over 25 cents.
Jimmy glared upward, but what he saw and the tightening of the hand on his collar were convincing. He drew from his pocket 5 nickels, dropping them into the outstretched hand of Douglas, who passed them to Mickey, the soiled fingers of whose left hand closed over them, while his right snatched off his cap. Fear was on his face, excitement was in his eyes, triumph was in his voice, while a grin of comradeship curved his lips.
"Many thanks, boss," he said, "and would you add to them by keeping that stranglehold till you give me just 2 seconds the start of him?"